As you know, next weekend is Australia Day. And I had planned to bring an Australia Day message on the first Sunday in February. But since I'm here today, I will bring the Australia Day weekend message like a week early. And then, Lord willing, I'll be back on the 1st of February and I'll bring a message again from the book of James, chapter 2, verses 10, 11, 12, and 13. So we'll be looking at the next four verses there. But Australia Day, many of us, let's face it, we were not born in Australia. Now, I know some of you were born in Australia, but I don't want to guess which percentage is larger, those that were born in Australia or those that were born elsewhere. But I thought it might be appropriate to give you a little bit of a background on the settling of Australia. And this brings us back to the first fleet, the first ship load. It was actually more than one ship. As a matter of fact, the first fleet sailed from Plymouth in England on the 13th of May in 1787. And they were sailing to Botany Bay, which is near Sydney Harbour. It is not Sydney Harbour, but it is near Sydney Harbour. There were more than 1,000 people on the 11 ships of the first fleet. There were 400 sailors, or seamen, as they were called. There were 750 convicts, 211 marines and officers, 27 officers' wives, 32 children, as well as the governor and his staff of nine. So if you add that up, it is well over 1,000. But among these people, there was only one clergyman. His name was Reverend Richard Johnson. Reverend Johnson was a Cambridge graduate, and he was an Anglican clergyman. He was a true Bible-believing Christian, and he preached the gospel faithfully, even though he did not have the full support from the governor. Governor Philip wanted Johnson to preach morals to the convicts. But Johnson preached the Word of God. On Sunday, February the 3rd, 1788, Reverend Richard Johnson preached the first sermon ever preached in Australia. The congregation was made up of troops and convicts whose behavior, according to one eyewitness, was regular and attentive. Ian Murray wrote a book entitled Australian Christian Life from 1788. If you ever have an opportunity to read that book, I would highly recommend it. It'll give you a real background on the history of the church in Australia. But Ian Murray wrote in this book, Australian Christian Life from 1788, and I quote here, that Governor Philip ordered a first service of worship in Australia at 10 a.m., that sounds familiar, on Sunday, February the 3rd, 1788. No man to be absent on any account whatever. The meeting place, there was obviously no church building, the meeting place was a great tree close to the harbor. And here Johnson preached from Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. In the words of a lieutenant, or lieutenant if you prefer, Ralph Clark, reporting this historic moment, we had a very good sermon. The behavior of the convicts was regular and attentive. Now that's the end of the quote here from Ian Murray's Australian Christian Life from 1788. The words from Psalm 116, verse 12, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" are really a prayer of thanksgiving. As one commentator puts it, and I quote, in Psalm 116, the psalmist relates that God had delivered him from physical death, verse 3, that God had saved his eternal soul from spiritual death, verse 8, that God had dried his tears and steadied his stumbling walk, verse 8, that God had freed him from the chains of slavery and sin, verse 16. Because of God's compassion, grace, mercy, and love, the psalmist said in verse 1, "I love the Lord." In a prayer of gratitude and thanksgiving, he asked, "How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me?" Verse 12. Now that's the end of that commentary. The psalmist then goes on to answer his own question by stating three things. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? First of all, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord in verse 13. You know, many people have heard the gospel and know that Jesus promised that if we believe on him, that we will never thirst again. But it is sad that they see the cup of salvation, but they never lift it up to taste and drink and see that the Lord is good. We could never repay the Lord Jesus Christ for his death on the cross for our sins. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He is the living water, our river of life. He satisfies our desires in ways that this world never could offer. He gives us life and makes us produce good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. He satisfies our every need with good things. I read about a travelogue on television concerning a group of explorers who were searching in Africa for a vanishing tribe. In the course of their travels, they came across some natives who for centuries had made their home on the banks of this one particular river. This in itself did not cause wonder until they were shown the polluted stream. It was filled with dirt and every contamination imaginable. The natives had developed a method of swishing over the top of the water to get the bigger chunks out of the way before scooping it up to drink. One of the explorers took his canteen and poured out a large cup of crystal clear water and handed it to one of the old women. She took the cup, pressed it to her lips, and didn't put it down until she had drained it. Then through an interpreter, she said that she had never dreamed there was anything in this world as sweet and wonderful as that water. How like the world without Christ is that? The world drinks from polluted streams, just swishing the chunks out of the way, because they have never known anything better. However, when they finally taste the crystal waters of eternal life, they proclaim that they never before realized there was anything so sweet and wonderful. That old woman was forced to go back to her polluted waters. But thank God, we who have partaken of the living waters of salvation, we need never go back. Have you taken the cup of salvation and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? We have heard four testimonies of those who have. But have you? Let's go on to the second answer to the psalmist's question. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? Verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. And verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. So, the second answer, I will call upon the name of the Lord. Now, if a friend whom we know really well tells us to call if we need anything, he actually may be insulted if he never asks for anything. If we never contact him, that's like not praying at all. The Lord Jesus is our friend. We read in Proverbs 18, a man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He, that friend, demonstrates perfect sacrificial love. The Apostle Paul tells us that when we receive God's gift of eternal life, that God has promised to meet our needs. In Philippians 4:19, good verse to memorize, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And Jesus told us not to worry about food or drink or for that matter even clothing. In Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, food and drink and clothing, all these things shall be added unto you. Now we can all learn to pray better. We can remind ourselves to pray before we speak or act, to pray before we worry. Why worry when you can pray? Little saying. But some people twist it around. Why pray when you can worry? No. Why worry when you can pray? To learn that God keeps his word. To really trust someone is to repay their trust with faith. As we read in Hebrews 11, that great chapter on faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If we want to show God our appreciation, even though we could never repay it completely for our salvation, we can take time to learn to pray and trust our dependable and loving God. He should be the first in our love and the first to whom we turn. As we read in Philippians, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Be thankful for what God has done. Gratitude is a mark of faith, of humility, of growth. And if you acknowledge him in all your ways, Proverbs tells us, he shall direct thy path. Now that brings us to the third answer to the psalmist's question. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? And we see the answer in verse 14 and verse 18. Now, verse 14 and verse 18 are exactly alike. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Verse 18, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. So the third answer, how can I repay the Lord for his goodness to me? I will pay my vows unto the Lord. And we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive our sins. We should tell him that we are sorry for sinning against his wonderful love. We vow that with his help, we will try to sin less. Sin is willful transgression against God's known law. Sin is falling short of the mark that God has set for us. Now, the root meaning of the word sin, in Hebrew it's the verb chata. It literally means to miss the mark. Now, people back then didn't have guns like we do today. They used bow and arrow. And if you shoot with the bow, you shoot the arrow, you miss the mark. That's the idea of sin. Sin is not doing what God tells us to do and doing what he tells us not to do. You know, man is born in sin and serves sin. But when a man or woman or boy or girl is born again, he or she vows to serve a new master, Jesus. Has the Holy Spirit been leading us to become a better witness? Have we been trying and seeking to learn how to better present the gospel to the unbeliever? Has the Lord been encouraging us to develop and use certain gifts and talents that he has given to us? Are we making full use of what he has given and told us to use? How often have we said, okay, Lord, I'll do better the next time. And then we have broken that vow. Now, the Bible teaches us that we're saved by faith alone. But it also tells us that we must respect our, express our faith by our good works. If you remember from James chapter 1, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And then in James chapter 2 and verse 18, I will show thee my faith by my works. So remember that. Was a little lame boy, and he tried to earn a little bit of money by selling some candy and some fruit at a train station. And he was hurrying to catch up with the train, the people there. He was manipulating his crutches, but it was difficult because of the large number of people that were there, especially. He was using his crutches and he was carrying his basket full of fruit and candy. And as the passengers rushed along, one accidentally hit the basket, knocking oranges and apples and candy bars in all directions. And the man who caused the accident paused only long enough to scold the crippled boy for getting in his way. Another gentleman, seeing the boy's distress, went to help him. Quickly, he picked up the fruit. He added some money to the collection and said, I'm sorry, sonny. I hope this makes up a little. With a smile, he was on his way. The young boy, who had seldom been the recipient of such kindness, calls after the Good Samaritan. In gratitude and awe. Mister, please, sir, are you Jesus? No, replied his newfound friend. I'm only one of his followers. So too the people whose lives we touch need to see the Lord in our acts of compassion and Christian kindness. The psalmist said that he would try to repay the Lord by lifting the cup of salvation, calling on the Lord, and praying to the Lord, and by keeping his fast. In the last three verses of the psalm, he said, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Basically, we can do the same by living for God in his house or church among our fellow Christians. I remember a new student, and I was teaching at Faith Theological Seminary in Philadelphia in the U.S. After about a week or so, the new school year, he came to see me to say goodbye. This is the beginning of the school year. Why are you coming to say goodbye? And he quoted Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And the student said, I must go to Jerusalem, because that's what Jesus said. Well, what did Jesus say? You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea. But the student did not understand that it was not necessary for him to go to Jerusalem in Israel, but that it indicated that we must begin to witness where we are, by also living out the gospel in the streets of our Jerusalem, our city, our town, our neighborhood, Carmelite Gardens, Adelaide. If we do that, by also living out the gospel there, the streets of our compassion, mercy, grace, provision, by telling others of his love, by praising the Lord in all places and in all situations, by living by faith, we know that we can never fully repay him for his debt of love that we owe. But out of love, we try. Now, there was a man by the name Billy Bray. He lived in Ireland, was born in 1794. He died in 1868. He was saved from a terrible life of drunkenness and sin. And after his conversion, he experienced one trouble after another. But he never ceased praising the Lord. At last he came to the place where all he had to eat was some very small potatoes. You know, it was not from Asia. It was from Ireland. Small potatoes. And Billy Bray bowed his head to offer thanks for these potatoes. And the devil bothered him and said, how can you thank God for such small potatoes? But Billy replied, go away, devil. When I was serving you, I didn't even have small potatoes. I had no potatoes at all. Yes, praise and thank the Lord, even for small potatoes. By the way, Billy Bray, who made his living as a miner working in the mines in Ireland, became a pastor and started a church. Life from drunkenness, sin, but he became a pastor, pastoring a church. So, on this Sunday, before Australia Day, let us remember the Reverend Richard Johnson, who preached the first sermon ever in Australia on the 3rd of February, 1788. Let us also remember the words of the psalm that he preached from, Psalm 116. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? And then remember also the three answers to his question. First of all, I will take the cup of salvation. Secondly, I will call upon the name of the Lord. And thirdly, I will pay my vows unto the Lord. Let us be sure to express our thanks to God for his blessings, his mercies, and the salvation that he has provided through his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are not sure of salvation, you've heard the testimonies for those who came to Christ. But if you're not sure of your salvation, please come. Believe on him now. And I'll be happy to talk with you about this after the service. And remember the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So let's give thanks to God. Let's take the cup of salvation. Let us call upon the name of the Lord. And let us pay our vows unto the Lord. And in that way, we can indeed render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee indeed for this psalm of thanksgiving, this prayer of thanksgiving. And may indeed our hearts are filled with gratitude as we think of all thou hast done for us, especially at this time of the year, as remember the arrival of the first fleet in Botany Bay. And Father, may we remember Reverend Richard Johnson and his sermon on that day. We were not there. We don't know exactly what he said. But we know the psalm. And we know the God that he worshipped and praised. And may we indeed give thanks in everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. We thank thee, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.